Hello, my name is Jill Russo. Thank you for coming. If you are in the room, that says I'm sorry, is this better? Higher?
This is for recording.
I'll talk louder. Is that better? Okay. The title is What is Your Body Trying to Tell You? A little bit about me. I'm a certified nutritional consultant. I also do electrodermal screening. It's not that I'm not in favor of Western medicine, it's just that I'm finding there's more answers and alternatives. And so what we're hoping to do between, and this is Ann Lurquin, a very good friend of mine, my partner in crime, and the only reason you don't know that she was listed here and is speaking with me is because sometimes deadlines come up quick. So, my only goal is, my purpose is to help people get well and to help connect dots that some may not be seeing. And Ann is right there with me. We started this together about a month ago. We knew we were supposed to be doing this, and it was wonderful how it came together. She would say, oh, I feel led to do this, well, I feel led to do that, and it fit really well. And so we're doing our very best to try and not have us be doing the talking so much as God. And so we've got lots of scriptures to point out and that type of thing. So,
should we have Kelly come up and...
Yes. This is my husband, Kelly,
and my husband, Tim.
You just want to say a quick prayer? Yahweh Yeshua, Ruach HaKodesh, we just thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your servant, Yahweh, and for everyone that come to the feast, not only here, but around the world. We come to worship you and to learn about you and to draw closer to you. I just ask that you use Ann and Jill today. Let you speak through them, Yahweh, and let the people understand. Let everyone learn. And as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We just do this for your glory. Amen.
Okay. All right, we're going to start. Am I loud enough, first of all? Okay. We're going to start with a joke. We're taking off from Dean Wheelock, you know, in the jokes. So who can tell me where is the first place in the Bible that it mentions about medicine?
Genesis 1.
Where? Come on. It's when Yahweh gave Moses the two tablets. Okay. We said, no way. Okay. So how often do you need to use tablets on your stomach? We have discovered that certain body parts hold certain emotions. So we'll be sharing a couple of these examples as we go through with what we found. And we're going to start with the stomach. So Jill is going to first of all show you where the stomach is on our Mr. Mannequin.
Right here. Right below the liver. This organ here is the stomach.
Hold it up.
Sure. Okay. So for those listening, the stomach is located
right below the liver. It's right there.
Okay. Couple of facts. The stomach is the second phase in the digestive part process following the chewing. It's located, like she said, between the esophagus and the small intestines. It secretes protein, digesting enzymes, and strong acid to aid in the food digestion. The stomach releases protein digestive enzymes such as pepsin and hydrochloric acid, which kills or inhibits bacteria and provides the right environment for those enzymes to work. Depending on the quality and content of the meal, the stomach will digest your food into a semi-fluid mass or partially digested food from, can you guess it, anywhere from 40 minutes to a few hours, depending upon how it goes through your body and how much you ate and all that fun stuff. So we're going to tie a little bit together with the stomach. The stomach actually stores the body's energy. When all is well and it energizes, are in their flow, there's trust that the next meal will come. But when the stomach meridian is disturbed, the body's source of energy is threatened and it worries. Gloom and fear, maybe very obsessive worry, is held in the stomach. So, just a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in Yahweh is set on high. Do not worry at all, but in every matter by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to Elohim. Philippians 4:6. Proverbs 14:26. The fear of Yahweh is strong in trust, and his children have a place for refuge. So, I'm passing my mic. Proverbs 14:26, and we will have a handout of every single scripture we use up here at the sheet for you later.
Okay. For the sake of time, we only want to hit a few highlights on the body, but we're going to talk about the small intestine next. So Anne will show you that on the model. If you could hold it up.
Little thing. It's in the middle. It's surrounded. This is the large. Here is the small intestine.
The small intestine is part of the gastrointestinal tract following the stomach and followed by the large intestine, which we'll get to in a moment, and is where much of digestion and absorption of food takes place. The primary function of the small intestine is the absorption of nutrients and minerals found in food. Some interesting facts about the small intestine. The size of the small intestine can vary for a human over 5 years of age, roughly from 20 to 25 feet long, and normally 2.5 to 3 centimeters in diameter. An adult human male average for the small intestine is 22 feet 6 inches. Adult female's average for the intestine is 23 feet 4 inches. For the sake of demonstration, to give you an idea, and for those that are not able to make it today and are listening later, we are holding up ribbons in those lengths. The small intestine can be anywhere from 15 to 32 feet long. So the red ribbon is the 32 feet. Yes, the blue ribbon is the 15 feet. That's the small one. They're both small intestine. Yours can be either 15 feet on up to 32. And it all fits right in your pelvis. And for those of you there that aren't seeing this, the 32 foot goes all the way across the room. Yeah.
So that's what's inside here, your small intestine.
So what we've found in our research is that forms of fear are located in the small intestine, and it can be numerous fears, or just one. Fear is a complex category of emotions that can be expressed in many subcategories, like fear of future, fear of man, vulnerability, fear of making decisions. I know when I'm feeling fearful, especially if I listen to talk radio, I get a knot there, and I get constipated. And so now I've recognized that, so I turn on worship music instead. Okay. Now Anne will talk about the large intestine.
Okay. So the large intestine, which we showed you in there, the function of that is to absorb the water from the remaining indigestible food matter, and then it passes it through the waste materials from the body. So, some interesting facts about the large intestine is it is approximately 5 feet long. So those that are listening, we have a green ribbon, and you can see that only pretty much stretches from one arm length to another of Kelly. And there's 700 species of bacteria in your large intestine. Usually takes 16 hours to finish up the end of the whole digestion process. The last process, of course, is elimination. So to figure out if you're having some problems with that, give you a couple examples. You could take sunflower or corn and see if it takes. If it takes longer than 18 hours, you're constipated and your digestive system is not doing as well as it could be.
Every time you feed it, to see it in the bowl.
Okay. Another way to determine those possible problems happening is by observing your stool. It should not be diarrhea or small pebbles, but should be long, brown, and float. Not necessarily in pieces, but together as a big long log. By the time you are diagnosed with symptoms that deal with digestive system, usually you'll get diagnosis like colitis, leaky gut, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease. That's all a sign that your body, that is your temple. God is trying to say, stop a minute. You're holding some emotions there that are harming you. So let's look at those. So I'm going to let Jill summarize.
I need my eyes. All right, Ann can point where the large intestine is. To summarize, some of what was taken in for the purposes of nutrition cannot be used and must be expelled. After the body's multi-system process of sorting through what to keep, the critical job of the large intestine is to make a final determination about what is not needed and to let it go. When the energies of the large intestine meridian are in their flow, the waste is easily and naturally sorted from what needs to be reabsorbed. It is realized back into the world. When the energies are disturbed, waste and sustenance are not clearly distinguished, and the urge is to hold on and retain what is toxic because it has not been differentiated from what is needed. So perhaps you can see now that issues of control tend to be held in the large intestine. So now we need to identify the scriptures that will help us if we have intestinal troubles. I'm sorry, James. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the assembly and let them pray over him, having anointed him with oil in the name of the Master. And the prayer of the believer shall save the sick, and the Master shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he shall be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another so that you are healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous one accomplishes much. In John, the one who does not love does not know Elohim, for Elohim is love. In Job, see now, his strength is in his loins, and his power is in his stomach muscles. Hebrews, so that we boldly say, Yahweh is my helper, I shall not fear what man shall do to me. Psalm 27, Yahweh is my light and my deliverance, whom should I fear? Yahweh is the refuge of my life, whom should I dread?
Now we're going to go on to the gallbladder. And that little gallbladder is a hidden little guy. So Jill's going to show you how to get it undone.
First, I need to take out the lungs. And then the heart. And then the liver.
He's really buried.
He hides behind the liver. It's that green thing. So it's a little deeper inside.
Okay. All right. So the gallbladder is a muscle that assists in the digestive system, located by the liver. In adults, it measures approximately 3.1 inches in length and 1.6 inches in diameter when it's fully distended. Now, we're going to do just kind of a summary on the gallbladder, and we'd like you to kind of listen to this because then we're going to talk on it and give you some other stuff to think about. The bile produced by the liver to break down fats, toxins, and stomach acid is stored in the gallbladder, ready at a moment's notice to do its nasty work on complex foods. The gallbladder meridian goes through the gallbladder, surfaces at the outer eye, and is associated with looking outward. The combination of this surveillance and propensity to rip things apart when the gallbladder's energies are disturbed, it can escalate from tendencies to pass judgment to melancholy rage toward
monolithic.
Thank you. Monolithic rage toward whoever or whatever crosses its path. When the gallbladder meridian is in its flow and its power to destroy toxins secure, it can look toward the world with kindness and mercy. Now, we want you to keep in mind what the gallbladder does for the body as you listen to the next session that can help you identify if our feelings are starting to hurt us or not.
Okay. This organ and structure of beliefs outpicture your preparing and withholding acidic emotions or bile, and discharging them only when needed for readying energy-filled matters for assimilation and integration. This is an important function of strong, wholesome beliefs and emotions and a full, healthy self and life. Strong, even caustic emotions must be properly and correctly stored and withheld until needed. Are the emotions you frequently express too harsh and resentful? Are they too strong? Too free-flowing? are there too many of them? Reconsider your emotions. Be careful they do not harden within you or react against you. Are your emotions corroding you on the inside? Do your caustic remarks frequently hurt others? Or do others' comments frequently hurt you? Are you or others too sarcastic, too scathing and acrimonious? All such emotions should be carefully confined and directed only where and when absolutely necessary. Do you frequently have a harsh tone in your attitudes, in your voice? Do you often speak unpleasantly or of unpleasant subjects? Is your life basically discordant? Are you disharmonious? Have you been especially severe or abusive with yourself or others? Heartless or unkind? Vindictive? Are others acting in these ways toward you? Do you feel that others have a lot of gall acting or speaking against you? Are you too judgmental? Too fault-finding? Are they too judgmental and fault-finding? Do you keep your distance from others so they won't attack you? Is it easy for you to tell others what you think of them? Do you feel relieved when you do that? Does it put them in their place? While certain strong emotions are necessary and appropriate, too much of these emotions will react against you. Gallbladder problems indicate that these emotions have, for a long time, been out of control in yourself and life and are still out of control. Why do you blame and accuse others for your feelings and problems? This is your life. Are you not willing to put your own effort into creating a satisfying self and life? Must you so frequently rant and rave against people, things, events, or quietly hold these conflicts in? Struggling against others' actions will not serve you. Self-assurance is never brazen, high-handed, or harsh. Who or what angers you? Must this happen so frequently? Do you carry and continue your animosities and resentments, your irritations and hurt feelings? Is there too much bitterness in your thoughts and attitudes, too many struggles in your beliefs, too much anger in your emotions? Are you easily provoked, easily piqued? Do you view most people, things, and events with dissatisfaction? Are you a gossip? Does it seem you have an outraged spirit? Are you too reserved? Do you struggle to control your emotions? Are you generally undemonstrative and unsociable, or overly concerned and boisterous? Do you talk too much? Do you easily communicate your feelings without rancor or anger? Face up to your problems and emotions. If your mind or emotions are too caustic, that outpictures in a weakened body and life. There is nothing weak, wrong, or unspiritual about asking for emotional support or physical assistance. Decisions made in harsh emotions or a moment or life lived in that way will not be the best or serve you. Do everything you can to create and fulfill yourself with creative emotions, which can certainly be strong, but not harsh or caustic.
I get to continue, but just so you know, we made a copy of this article, so that's one of those handouts too. Gallstones. These reveal your harsh, acidic beliefs, emotions which have hardened into painful conviction, is the gallstones. This coalescence, or solidifying or severe or caustic emotion strongly affects and pains you, just as you have so long disturbed others. True strong emotions are necessary for maintaining a healthy self in life. It's important not to let them harden within you. Properly confine and direct them, then waste them. Do not maintain or carry resentment within you. Let these and similar emotions do their work in the moment, then release them. Stop viewing individuals and situations with dissatisfaction. Properly release your bitter anger. Even mild anger, if continued, is very destructive. By indignant, if you want, but continuing your indignation will only discomfort and hurt you. Find better, less bitter ways to act and react, lest these caustic emotions harden or become fixed in your ways. Take offense, if appropriate, then take pleasure. And if you must take exception to others' words and actions, do so, but don't let the displeasure or anger your spirit. Be as gentle with others as you want from them. Do you hold grudges? Become easily offended? irritability creates bad feelings that quickly turn sour and harden into bitterness and angry convictions. Hurt feelings frequently harden within you to match your irritation and the chip on your shoulder. Jealousy and vindictiveness acts more harshly upon you than upon others. Do you let little hurts and insults harden within you? Is life too hard for you? Too confusing and difficult? Are your relationships and attitudes too harsh? Are you hardening yourself and your emotions against the seemingly onset of life? Are you generally stiff and inflexible about your emotions and reactions? Are you attempting to stand firm, rock-like, against others and life? Do you feel overwhelmed by life? Are you weary of the life you're living and struggling against? Are you maybe a little too persistent and
persevering,
too relentless and unremitting? These attitudes and actions harden your emotions, ways, and spirit. Compromising does not mean yielding. Why are you so insensitive and thick-skinned? What are you concealing, hiding from? Are you disheartened? What about? Have you lost your dreams and visions? Forsaken your true desires? Has your life taken a meaningless turn? What is that? Hard words outpicture harsh beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, and emotions. Are people generally unfriendly and antagonistic towards you? Or do you hold them away with harsh words and actions? Do you feel that you must be hard in life in order to survive? Are you too complicated and stubborn? Gallstones are anger and harsh emotions turned inward. What are you doing to yourself? Life's continuous process of growth and unfoldment is not hard or harsh, nor is it a test or lesson that you must pass. Ease up on yourself. So let's examine some scriptures that help us deal with a balancing emotion for bitterness, which would be tolerance and kindness. In Ephesians it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and displeasure and uproar and slander be put away from you along with all evil." Again in Ephesians, "And be kind toward one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Elohim also forgave you in Messiah." In Acts, "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by unrighteousness." In Mark, "And whenever you stand praying, if you hold whatever against anyone, forgive, so that your Father in the heavens shall also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither shall your Father in the heavens forgive your trespasses." In Matthew, "And why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not notice the plank in your own eye?"
So, as you can see, there is definitely a connection between sin and illness. Here's couple more scriptures for you. We love scriptures, can you tell? Psalms 38:4. "For my crookedness have passed over my head like a heavy burden, too heavy for me." Exodus 15:26. "And he said, if you diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim and do what is right in his eyes and shall listen to his commands and shall guard all his laws, I shall bring on you none of the diseases I brought on the Mitzrayim, for I am Yahweh who heals you."
Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." What do the scriptures say? In 2 Corinthians says, "Examine yourselves whether you are in the belief. Prove yourselves. Or do you not know yourselves that Yahweh Messiah is in you unless you are disapproved?" In in 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is trustworthy and righteous to forgive us the sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 7, and if one does not repent, he sharpens his sword, he bends his bow and makes it ready, and he has prepared for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows hot for pursuers. See, he who is bound with wickedness and has conceived trouble and brought forth falsehood, he has made a pit and dug it out and falls into the ditch he made. His trouble turns back upon his own head, and his wrongdoing comes down on top of his head. In Acts, it says, repent, therefore, and turn back for the blotting out of your sins, in order that times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Master. In 2 Chronicles, it says, and my people, upon whom my name is called, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways. Then I shall hear from the heavens, forgive their sin, and heal their land.
So, we're seeing that repentance is the key here. So just a couple of little bullet points. Let us let go of any hate, because hate blocks any forgiveness that you have, and you won't move any farther from it. Forgive Yahweh, because sometimes you perceive that Yahweh just doesn't care about you or your circumstance, that he let you down, and you're kind of angry at him. He needs our forgiveness also.
Not only that, we need to forgive ourselves. Let go of the shame and guilt that happened to you or what you did in the past. Guilt is taken care of by seeking God's forgiveness. We also need to forgive others. I know in my own marriage, Kelly and I needed to forgive ourselves and forgive each other. And it wasn't until then that we really started to get along well. Things are just great now.
And remember to ask for repentance for yourself and things that you hold that you came into agreement with. Sometimes you perceive something that was not really true, and just really realize that that's the enemy trying to talk to you and say, fall into that. Don't do that. Hold every thought captive through Christ. Ask for repentance. Don't forget, besides taking the old plank out of your own eye, remember generational. And you don't have to just repent on Yom Kippur. You can repent 365 days a year, 24/7. Okay?
You can have healing. You can have 65 days a year.
Exactly. So remember that repentance. When I repent, I don't just repent for me. I say, Lord, Father, I'm sure we had some of that in our line. Go all the way back to Adam and Eve, because I want to be covered, and I want to be covered completely. You can do that.
Does your attitude play into not forgiving or into your sickness? Focus only on the things of God and not the emotions. Some scriptures on forgiveness to help you out. In James it says, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another so that you are healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous one accomplishes much. In Matthew, then his master called him and said to him, wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt.
Then his master called him and said to him, wicked servant, I forgive you of all the debts, seeing you begged me. Matthew 18:33. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, as I have compassion on you? And his master was wroth and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So also my heavenly Father shall do to you, in each of you, from his heart does not forgive his brothers his trespasses. And my people, upon whom my name is called, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways. Then I shall hear from the heavens and forgive their sin and heal their land. The key is, once you have repented, You need to walk it out, that repentance, by doing what you did, not doing what you did in the past. It's that halakha that so many of our speakers are talking about. Now we have two more scriptures we want to do, and then we're going to share a little bit of our testimony. So we're sharing a little bit of how God has worked in our lives. So it's very personal to us. So I hope that you're blessed by that. But the two scriptures, first of all, are 1 John 4:16. I am not distant and angry, but I am a complete expression of love. He's not distant. He's not angry with you. He's that complete expression of love that we've been talking about this whole time. Proverbs 3:12. For whom Yahweh loves, He reproves. As a father, the son, and He delights in him. Are you ready?
I'm ready. It's just hard to say those words again. Just very brief part of my testimony. 3 years ago, I was laughing sort of when Rico a few days ago was talking about God going like this and pulling him by the ear. It was worse for me than that. I was put in a timeout for 6 days. Probably one of the most painful periods of my life. But now it's 3 years later. And I'm on the flip side of that. I was repenting like crazy. And not just for the acts he was showing me, but for every time I did it my whole life, as in, and then answers, yeah, back to Adam and Eve, absolutely. Because I want to cover all bases now. The other thing I learned through this experience was that God cannot use you to walk in His purpose until you are broken. Is this easy? No. Is this painful? Yes. Why else would we be so reluctant to do it? Because we all know there's pain in it. But I can tell you from experience, when you are brave enough to walk through that pain, you will find that on the other side, He still loves you. As awful as we all are, He still loves us. I am a liar. I'm a murderer. I am all of those things. And He showed me just how much that is true. I quizzed Him years ago. I said, I'm good, Lord. How can a liar be the same as a murderer? That just doesn't make sense to me. Took 8 years to show me. you just have to have the thought. I had someone in my life I was so angry with, I wanted to kill him. And I'm not proud of being able to say that, but that is part of who we are. We all have those feelings. And I'm up here demonstrating that it's okay to admit that. Because I know my God is with me. And He was with me through all that crap. And He's with me now. And I knew today I woke up really anxious. And I wasn't sure why, but now I know, because I'm supposed to share all this. But the beauty of it is, we have also found something that we would like to play for you that reminds all of you that He is there. He's holding your hand. And we all need the reminder that He does this. He puts us through this. If we are willing to go through this, He is there with us. You may feel like it's just you and Him, and really it is. And once you get through that, you'll realize He was still there. He's holding your hand. He's wanting the very best for you. But the best has to come out of a broken vessel. I don't know why that is. He has to use a broken vessel. All I can tell you is from my own research, if you break a bone in your body and it's set correctly, that bone is stronger than it was before. Hope that's helpful.
She mentioned coming out of that thing and feeling the joy and the love. You're going to find as you go through that trial, you're going to feel. Because, you know, a lot of times in our minds and our bodies, we are in bondage. We are in chains. And, you know, you might not be able to physically see them, but we are in chains. Mentally, emotionally, there's people in this room that put on a very good face and are crying inside. And you know, when you take this step and you do what Jill did and share that's your testimony, what will happen? Those chains, you will actually feel them starting to fall, starting to break. It is an awesome feeling. It is so awesome. It's hard to explain it. It's almost like totally letting it go. And as you're walking, you can look back and you can see the bondage you're coming out of, like Mitzrayim. You're starting to walk through that water. And you, as we get to the other end, what did Miriam do, everybody?
Dance.
Dance. She was joyful. She was happy. That's what we have to do. So I encourage you, yes, it will be painful. Yes, it will hurt. Yes, it will be the best experience in your entire life. Okay? So let us, as we're kind of going, you want to add?
Yeah. We know the inevitable question some of you may be asking is, well, geez, I have heart troubles. What's held there? I have problems with other body parts. Where do I go to get more information on that? We do have a handout that has it listed. We also have this wonderful website I was led to. It's called openbible.info/topics. And instead of yanking out a heavy concordance, you can just go to your computer and it will pull up, like I put in, openbible.info/topics. I'll give you a freebie. In the pancreas is guilt and shame. So I typed in guilt and shame, and up comes every scripture that addresses those emotions. Read through those. You will find out what your issue is, if you don't already know. That's another thing. I'm glad you said that, because I want to mention, too, some of you already know what the issue is, and you don't know. Maybe it's bitterness, and you don't know how to let go of it. I have been in your shoes.
Thank you.
I have had three people I could not forgive. And I told that to God. So I said, I need your help because I just cannot possibly do that. Of course, it's prayer. But these scriptures do help pull that out. And then also listening to this audio that we have. But there's help. There's four people, well, there's others in the room here, I know, who are willing to sit and listen and to help you, and to help you get past that. That is my ministry that she's partnering with me. We're trying to help people see these connections so that they can have the healing that we are now experiencing. During my breakdown, I was very depressed. I was at adrenal burnout, among other all kinds of health problems. And now on the other side, God has shown me how to heal those things. I'm not the healer. He is. But I can help with detox once you help and talk to him. So just listen and enjoy what's about.
And I'm the encourager. So if you need that encouragement, you just come to me. So, you know, we will encourage and we will help. We will guide you. We will share our experiences of different things. For me, it was unrepentance. I just couldn't get past it, you know. I ended up having to have a biopsy done on my thyroid because of it. But, you know, once I took it to the Father and gave that repentance to Him and stopped looking at others and looked at myself, today my thyroid is 100% cured and healed. No medical intervention whatsoever. So if it can happen for us, it can happen for you guys. Take the step. Because this knowledge that you're learning is not only for you, but it's for you to share others. So now we want you just to be blessed. So if you want to just close your eyes and just sit back and listen, I think you will be blessed. Okay.
The words you are about to experience are true. It will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you. And He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. Misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant in memory, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child, and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. Nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I've always been father, and will always be father. My question is, will you be my child?
Of resources that I've found that have been very helpful is one, it's a very old book. It's hopefully you can find it. It's by Rebecca Derene, D-E-R-E-N-N-E. It's called D-E-R-E-N-E. E-N-E. There might be two N's in there, but and it's Rebecca. It's called Hind's Feet on High Places. And what it talks about, Hind's Feet on High Places, it kind of uses the book of the Song of Solomon. And it goes through and it talks about having to lay down your heart, your hurts on the altar, giving up rejection, giving up anger, giving up those things. And until we're able to lay them at the altar of God, can we be used. Another book that we have in the resource room, which I found was an awesome tool, it's called He Loves Me, Because sometimes people in this room can't receive the love that the Father sees you as. You see yourself as a broken vessel. But remember, He doesn't see you that way. He made you. Like it said in Jeremiah 1:5, I knew you before you were even born. I had a purpose and a plan for you, to be a prophet to the nations. Receive the love He has for you. It's an awesome book of showing you the love of your Father. It gives you personal reflection to reflect on, and it also gives you questions to have in a group discussion. Be blessed. Get it in the resource.
One more mention, if you're interested in the recording you just listened to, it's called Father's Love Letter. You can pick up your own copy, CD and DVD set, at fathersloveletter.com. And we have a copy of it written on the rainbow paper.
Do you want to go over that stuff first, and we can do questions?
Sure.
Couple of things that we have here. We have a wonderful article. This lady, Rose, I believe is her name, from Healing Ministries, Yava Halal, the Tabernacle in Branson. She always has a free newsletter, and she talks once a month and does articles on different emotions. And this particular one is on fear and what fear can do. So we made copies for you. This other one is the one we talked about, the unbalancing and balancing emotions. And the one thing that we did find in this, as you go through this, you know what the balancing emotions are? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Does that not sound funny or what? And then we also wanted to share about it ripped and the healing. Do you want to do that, Jill?
Sure. Through my own studies, I know, and some of you may also know, that you heal from the inside out and from top to bottom, outside in. It gets confusing out there when you start looking at alternatives. It's inside to out, yeah. And but we saw an inside, outside in also, because you can look at health from what's going on with your skin and superficial things to getting down deep. I personally am detecting a kidney issue. Kidneys are the deepest organ in the body, and I know it's the last serious one I need to tackle. But from top to bottom, what hit me was it has to be top to bottom, because the last thing that comes is peace, and that's your feet. Think of Ephesians, that Christian body of armor. If you have an issue, say, in the breast or in the chest or the heart, that's under the breastplate of righteousness. If it's in the head, check your helmet of salvation and deliverance and your thoughts. Thank you. If it's a foot issue, you are not in peace. And not only that, you can do foot reflexology. If we were even rubbing your feet, we can identify where the issues are if you don't know. Because we are so fearfully and wonderfully made, clues are in our face, they're in our feet, they're in our hands, they're in our ears, they're in the tongue, they're in the teeth. It's amazing. And even in the eyes. And so your body is trying to tell you something, and we need to stop looking at our bodies as the enemy. And it's not just a matter of growing old or wearing out. That is not what is going on. God is gracious enough to give you clues as to where you need help. So pay attention to that, because that's the key to your healing.
And the example is Moses. Was he in bad health? No, God just took him. Look how old he was. He wasn't wearing out. Why do you feel you have to wear out? That is a lie and a deception from the enemy. Mm-hmm. Don't fall into it. Mm-hmm. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. My people. I guess we're ready for questions.
No questions. One question. We're in the back.
Thank you so much for this really important message about the connection between our body and the spiritual, what's happening in that. I was just wondering about the comment regarding being angry with our father for something and needing to forgive him. But I was wondering, isn't it true that he's sinless? I mean, he's perfect and he loves us so much. So if there's anger towards him, maybe it's on us to humble ourselves and to repent.
You're getting it.
And to recognize that everything, even if we don't get the things that we want, or you know, things don't go quite our way, it's because of His love for us.
Absolutely. Question was, comment is, if I'm. Help.
if we're understanding it right, she's saying anger, the Father isn't angry. It's how we perceive what the Father thinks of us, and that we might think that the Father's angry with us, even though He really is not showing that anger, because nothing... if you're angry with Him.
We don't forgive the Father.
Right.
Right. Being forgiven,
we
don't forgive Him.
Okay.
Humble ourselves.
Yes.
Recognize
yes.
That if
sorry.
Him,
yes.
It's because we have a God's heart, and we're not recognizing that what seems to be a chastisement or whatever is for our good,
yes.
And for our benefit.
Yes. So if the issue is whether when you are angry with God,
right.
It's not an issue of He needing forgiveness because He's not at fault.
No, right.
It's us. And we need to be humbling ourselves and saying, who am I to think that I should be angry with you for what you're putting me through? That's not it. And if He is putting us through something, it's because we have very important lessons to learn. Okay, great. Yes?
I've been having problems with my hand just recently. Now, I've fallen down over the years, and in February, I went to four different doctors, and finally one doctor gave me a shot of cortisone in my hand. Very painful. And I was fine. It went away. Well, then I started doing some study scriptures, and if I'm touching on the computer, I'm fine, but I started writing with a pad, and because I was using this handle, it's come back.
Mm-hmm.
Now something's coming back to my left hand, same thing, similar to my right, but I fell down on ice in February,
okay.
Which kind of started all this.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to go to scripture, I don't want to go back and get another shot, and this time I'm going to camp.
Yes.
I'm not going to do it.
Yes. Do you want to take it?
So I don't know. I don't know what God's telling me.
Well, that's a good question. That's one of the things that I touched on a little is you may not know what it is, and it may not be on this sheet. We're still figuring out some of it. What came to mind when you mentioned your hands, for those listening, she's having trouble with her hands, having pain in her hands, not knowing where to go for help with that sort of thing.
I don't have the strength to pick up a heavy coffee pot at the campsite.
She mentioned she doesn't have enough strength to pick up a heavy coffee pot.
Both hands.
Yes.
And I've been healthy all my life.
Yeah.
All my weaknesses in my hands.
It could be a few issues, but my first thought was, what do you do with your hands? What are your hands made for? The work of your hands. Perhaps there's an issue there.
Service.
Perhaps.
Pray about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
If you want to
begin
in the confession,
this
book,
the
a wonderful book. This is probably my second Bible.
It's
called Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die.
That's a good one, too. Good.
Yeah.
She's recommending the book Feelings
Buried Alive.
Buried Alive.
And that's by
Never Die.
Carol Truman. And it's with a
yeah.
K. K-A-R-O-N.
Never Die.
R-U-M-A-N.
And that's every single thing you can think of. And she goes back. Generation is a script I have memorized.
I'm going to get that. I have it. Okay.
And she has more than one book also. There's two different books that she has.
Mm-hmm.
And she covers a little bit more on than we really did. We kind of briefly went through that. But a lot of it talks about the rut. You know, you found the issue. But if you ever dig up a rut and you pull that rut, there's a lot of tentacles that are coming from that rut. So just realize you might have more than one issue that maybe deal with bitterness that you need to deal with getting that root completely pulled out. It's an awesome book. Thank you again. It's Carol with a C or a K, and it's Truman, T-R-U-M-A-N, which is her book. It's a pink cover book, and then she also has like a bluish cover one, which is her second book. Any other questions? Yes.
I have a question in regards to taking this information that you have presented. Have you in any way compared it with or seen similarity with Henry Wright's book on A More Excellent Way?
Yes.
Does it seem to go along the same lines as far as the different organs that are affected?
Okay. Question is, does what we are presenting today coincide or compare favorably with Be in Health? Is that the ministry?
A more excellent way.
I'm sorry. A More Excellent Way is the book. And Be in Health is the ministry. It does, but we sort of found this. It went along for a while, and then we needed to see more because they don't quite hit the punchline that we've gotten to today.
It's kind of like in Hebrew where you guys taught us that there's more than one level.
Yeah.
And I think what I have found through my own experience, and somebody else might be different, so you're just getting my experience, is that particular book is at soul level. It covers it and does it, but you got to do a little bit more digging, and you got to get down into the Ramez and the other areas to see how it flows through. It's a great start, especially for someone that never saw that connection, and they need to be able to see that connection and how that flows through. Okay. Any other questions?
Well, I haven't asked in my book for that, but here I don't see anything like for inner ear. But that do you have a quote would be that organ that controls your inner ear?
Your ears represent, the question is inner ear, what controls that organ? Your ears represent your kidneys, believe it or not. And anything going on with your ears is an issue with your kidneys. And the issue held in your kidneys is deep shock or fright. We've all had trauma. So if you've got ringing in the ears, fullness in the ears, redness, itching, anything like that, it's typically an issue coming out of the kidneys.
Mm-hmm. And I have an awesome book that I ran across that talks about trauma, because a lot of times people think of trauma as something major, you know, an industrial accident, a car accident. But the way it explains it in there is trauma is how you perceive something. Mm-hmm. It could have been when you were a little kid and you fell off your bike and chipped your tooth. That could be a trauma because that's how you perceive it. Each person is different. So you need to go to prayer. You need to go through it. And this book I have on trauma has a 12-step process, and I can share that and show that with them. So I'm still reading it. So, and it's pretty much called Traumas. And it is an awesome concept. It even gave an example of even a child maybe having to have tonsils removed and going through anesthesiologist. They're brought into a room without mom, without dad, and they're putting something over them. They are now in fear. That fear ties into your fear, your fight or flight mode. And a lot of people don't realize that once you're in that fight and flight mode, you're constantly in it until you choose to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And you're holding that within all your DNAs and all that stuff. You're responding. Somebody doesn't like a snake and they see a snake, you automatically know that condition. When I'm walking in the woods, I'm watching because I know because it's been programmed in me. I have to unprogram that. I have to learn to receive that animal, that reptile that God put on this earth for good.
The problem with holding that emotion for too long is illness.
Exactly.
That's the key. We're holding on to it too long. Scripture says don't let the sun go down on your anger.
I'm not sure.
We can only imagine what the consequences are of holding on to anger too long. It's that idea. If you're holding, you know, go ahead and feel the feeling, but learn how to deal with it constructively before it becomes illness. Yes.
How do you differentiate between an inherited problem and something that you may just have an emotional,
Good question. The question
I
is...
I have hammer toes, so I don't
The question is, how do you distinguish between an inherited problem and one that is just consequence of, say, an accident? That gets into generational stuff, and there's more that I can tell you beyond the scope of this discussion, but we can help you with that. And that's where things like foot reflexology come in. There are diagrams of the feet, and if you can tell me where the pain or problem is in your foot, the corresponding organ is directly tied to that. And then we can start narrowing down what is that issue. So depending on where that, you know, on the big toe, that's right up into the head. But there's other issues there, and you could pinpoint exactly where the pain is for me. And then we could further, by looking at this diagram, figure out what the issue is. So that's part of the fearfully and wonderfully made part. There's clues everywhere throughout our body. It's just amazing.
And another thing is, don't be afraid. Realize also, watch things, be observant. Not only your body, but God will put messages using the land, your where you live, all these different things. He will put messages. Look at that and say, Lord, what you trying to show me? And He will show you.
That's a good prayer, isn't it?
It's amazing what He will show you.
We have time for one more question.
I haven't been aware of this, you know, that I can intentionally work on myself in this manner, but I feel that I get a feeling when I worship God. That's happened before. I think maybe that's the general benefit of being a believer, who loves God, worships God from their heart. And is another way of stabilizing emotions.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The question, if I understood you correctly, is
worship, how that plays into healing.
How does worship play into healing? Absolutely. Well, you heard my story earlier. If I listen to talk radio, I am not one that does well, because it's a lot of instilling fear and what the future may hold and what man can do to us. Instead, I turn on worship music and that knot in my stomach goes away. And the constipation goes away. And so, yes, absolutely, worship is a part of this.
And worship also is showing that faith and starting to do that halakha and walking it out. Because, you know, after Miriam got through the water, she praised and she danced. So every one of you guys should be up on that dance floor praising and dancing. It's another form of your love language to our Heavenly Father. Don't disregard that. You might not be one that's a teacher, but maybe your love language is touching, physical touch, and that's the way you have physical touch. You can't necessarily read it, but you feel it. God is just showing you that. Use it. Okay?